From the United Kingdom, this is the Hawthorne Report. News and analysis from a white nationalist perspective. Insights and commentary that affect your lives. News for you, uncensored by the Jew. And here's your host, James Hawthorne.
Welcome to the Hawthorne Report, everybody. This is your news portal without the Jewish filter. That's right, there is no Jew between me and you. Top stories, Le Pen to face trial for Nazi comments. David Irving, we have the latest news. Reports back up US troop execution allegations. Italian fascists are active in Rome. Adolf Hitler, an urban legend. The Spanish Civil War 70-year anniversary. Estonia launches attack against Soviet past. Australia will be a Muslim state in 50 years, says Australian Member of Parliament. And the final story will be Swedish welfare collapses as immigrants wage war. Jean-Marie Le Pen, the leader of the Nationalist Front National, will stand trial for comments he made last year. The Jews at Ynet.com are chortling about this. He made comments last year when he said that the Nazi occupation of France had not been particularly inhumane. The comments were made during an interview with the Nationalist Weekly magazine Rivarol. Le Pen had said, in France at least the German occupation was not particularly inhumane, although there were some blunders. Inevitably, in a country of 550,000 square kilometres, a judicial source said Le Pen would be tried for complicity in contesting crimes against humanity and complicity in justifying war crimes. This is not the first time that Le Pen has made so-called insensitive comments about the Holocaust. In 1987, the Front National Party leader stated on RTL Radio that the Holocaust was a detail of history. In 1990, he was convicted of incitement to racial hatred by casting doubt on the Nazi persecution of Jews and Gypsies under a French law banning such rhetoric. He was fined €180,000 for trivializing the Nazi persecutions. He appealed the sentence to the European Court of Human Rights. He made similar statements in Munich in 1997. Violating Germany's anti-free speech laws. Le Pen responded to critics using a refrain common to Holocaust deniers and revisionists, saying he would no longer answer questions on the topic because, quote, it's a taboo subject which is protected by legal and criminal law, and the only option you can express on it is that allowed by the media. There is a propensity in our political life to exaggerate the importance of the past, particularly of World War II. Le Pen has also been no stranger to outright so-called anti-Semitism. In January 1997, Le Pen accused President Jacques Chirac of being, quote, in the pay of Jewish organizations, unquote. In July 2000, Le Pen was banned from public office and stripped of his seat in the European Parliament for 1 year. Following a 1998 conviction for assaulting a socialist politician the year before during elections. However, more recently, Le Pen has turned his attention to Muslims, more specifically North African immigrants to France. His party has taken anti-immigration stance while also calling for the death penalty and mandatory conscription to the army. In 2002, Le Pen qualified for the second round of presidential elections and a runoff against eventual winner Jacques Chirac. So here we have, with the presidential election, just a year away, maybe less than a year away, 2007, the Jews are firing up their political ovens to go out against the nationalist leader Jean-Marie Le Pen to try and have him probably either put away until the elections come around, or basically to try and shut him up. One thing about the French people, the French character and the French nation, they are, as the Second World War proved, they are fighters, and Le Pen is one of those fighters. Latest news from the David Irving situation. This was reported on the David Irving website, and we'll put this on the Hawthorne Report notes. A political prisoner of conscience, David Irving, has completed the 13,000 handwritten pages of a new book, his memoirs, which incidentally are not titled Irving's War. Here's a quick brief paragraph from the handwritten pages which were sent to the and posted on the David Irving website, or this section of it. Vienna Imprisonment, a foretaste from David Irving, Irving's War, Focal Point Publications. For many weeks I brooded, and this is what David Irving is saying, by the way, quote, for many weeks I brooded on when the Potterman factor fitted into all this. Apart from the 8 police officers who had forced my car off the autobahn at gunpoint, they had been informed that I was a car thief. The Austrians could not have been friendlier. As word spread round Vienna's Josefstadt jail on who I was, on where I was, I received a stream of visitors. Jailers brought me magazines, mail packets of coffee as gifts. One gave me a glass of whiskey. Nobody must hear of this. The enemy blubbered with fury in the national press when they learned that my books were all in the prison libraries, over 100 as it turned out, including Hitler's War. The ministers reassured Parliament that my books had now been withdrawn. An unknown Austrian historian, nearly all Austrian historians are unknown, by the way, Irving points out here, was appointed to check them. The books, the David Irving books in all these prisons, were burned. Book burners in practice. If anybody wishes to write to David Irving, you can write to David Irving, and I'll give you his address. It's David Irving, prisoner number 70306, and the address is JVA Josefstadt, that's JOSEFSTADT. A1080 Vienna, Austria, and you can write David Irving letters of support to that address. This man, just like the great German National Socialist who wrote newspapers and was hanged at Nuremberg, Mr. Stryker. Comrade Stryker was hanged at Nuremberg. His crime, writing a newspaper that attacked the Jews. David Irving is in a similar predicament. He will not be hanged for his crimes, but he has been hanged, metaphorically he's been hanged, for writing the truth about World War II. So we ask everybody who listens to this program to drop David Irving a letter of support, just to keep his spirits up in this horrible situation that he is in. A report from The Guardian backs up US execution allegations. A criminal investigation into the deaths of 24 Iraqis in the town of Haditha last year is close to completion and will support allegations that they were deliberately killed by a group of US Marines. It was reported yesterday. A spokesman said a statement was being prepared, but U.S. media last night quoted Pentagon officials as saying that the provisional report back claims that the Iraqi victims in Haditha had not been caught in the crossfire, but had been deliberately shot. The official version of the incident was that a Marine detachment had been hit by a roadside bomb which killed one U.S. serviceman and 15 civilian bystanders, but residents said the civilians had been gunned down in cold blood, with women and children among those rounded up in the room of a nearby house and murdered. So here we have it now. All reports coming out of Iraq are saying that the United States are going on a killing frenzy, being allowed to do this by the international community. No one is saying anything. And at last, an independent report is being issued, and it's stating that the United States soldiers are going on a killing rampage in Iraq. Well, why? What we're doing in Iraq and why we're there is, as we all know, is open to major discussion. The lies and the deceit for the United States and Great Britain and other so-called coalition partners to invade this sovereign nation. Well, the truth, the full truth, will all come out And those people, Mr. Bush, Mr. Blair, and all the rest of them, they are going to hang their heads in shame. And if there was white nationalist governments that would have come to power after this, these people would be swinging from lampposts. There would be no ifs, ands, or buts about that. These people have lied. They have pushed our troops into a situation where they should not be in, and they're being killed. Troops being troops, you know, will do evil things sometimes. Firing on civilians is not the way to go. It's not winning hearts and minds. I'll post that full story on the Hawthorne Notes for everybody. Italy, Rome, Italian fascists support Hezbollah. Anti-Semitic inscriptions, or should I say they're anti-Jewish inscriptions and slogans, supporting the Lebanese freedom-fighting group Hezbollah, have appeared on the walls of 20 Jewish-owned shops in Rome. The criminals signed the inscriptions as the Armed Revolutionary Fascists. Some shop fronts were also damaged. In particular, locks on doors were filled with glue, nails had been hammered into shutters, and there were swastikas drawn all over the walls. According to the representative of Rome's Jewish diaspora, it is likely that the attack took place as a reaction to the Lebanese-Israeli conflict. No kidding, Chief. The mayor of the city, Walter Veltroni, declared that the culprits would be found and would receive the punishment they deserved after the court trial. The police have not yet commented on the incident, informed the Associated Press. Reactions going on throughout Europe about the hideous invasion by the Jews into Lebanon, the absolutely ethnic cleansing once again of the Jews of the southern part of Lebanon. The nationalist forces of Hezbollah are the only ones who seem to be standing up to the Jews, and basically they are taking the fight to them. Everyone in Europe is against what the Israeli Jews are doing in Lebanon, murdering, killing innocent men, women, and children. International community once again standing by and letting Israel really rant their rage on the Lebanese people. You know, it's only now that, due to pressure from normal Joe in the street, has Tony Blair stepped up to the plate and asked for a ceasefire and for an international body to be put into the south of Lebanon. George Bush he just hasn't got a clue. So pressure is being felt in Europe over this invasion by the Israeli Jews, and Italian fascists have shown their dislike of this absolutely another hideous war. Adolf Hitler, an urban legend here. We all heard the stories of which the Jewish media always portray about Hitler, and the Jesse Owens story. They keep telling us that when Jesse Owens won his gold medals, Adolf Hitler was so disgusted that he left the stadium. Well, the truth has finally arisen. The urban legend about Adolf Hitler is this. 1936, Adolf Hitler walked out of the 1936 Summer Olympic Stadium in Berlin, Germany, after African-American athlete Jesse Owens won gold in the 200-meter race. Owens' 4 gold medals were an equivalent refutation of Hitler's theory of the inferiority of the black races. So the story, repeated in many places, however, it isn't so. Hitler wasn't at the Olympics that day, and it was probably a story invented by journalists at the time. I bet those journalists have the name Berg, Steinman, or Rothberg. That wouldn't surprise me. So there you go, the Jesse Owens story. That's an urban legend that Hitler walked out. In fact, Hitler was never there. Spanish anniversary raises questions. This is the 70th anniversary of the Spanish Civil War. Europe this week marks a momentous anniversary. 70 years ago, Spanish generals rose in a revolt that led to 3 years of civil war and ultimately the defeat of the elected Republican government and the establishment of a fascist nationalist government under Francisco Franco, who ruled Spain until his death in 1975. And this is a good story. I'll briefly read it. The Spanish Civil War polarized opinion worldwide. The Spanish fascists were backed by Hitler and Mussolini and also by the conservative establishment across much of the Western world. Australia's own B.A. Sammartin first came to prominence as a supporter of Franco. The Republicans were supported by leftists and Democrats of various stripes, but also by Stalin's Soviet Union, which sent some military aid and organized volunteer brigades from around the world to fight in Spain. It remains divisive today. A poll for Spain's El Mundo this week found that 30% of Spaniards still believe Franco's revolt was justified, including fully half of those who vote for the centre-right opposition. Well, what would have happened in the Spanish Civil War had the communists won? We would have had a communist, a Marxist, Spain, right in the heart of Europe. Francisco Franco, great patriot, great nationalist, stood up with all those other great nationalists and patriots and fought these Reds for 3 years, hand to hand, fought them all, and in the end they won. The Jewish media, as we all know, will keep saying this was a war which the wrong side won. And the fascists won, and the Republicans should have won. And they don't tell you who the Republicans were, but they were basically Marxist communists. The Red Brigade, the Red Front, thanks to the backing of Hitler and Mussolini, Franco was able to quash these Reds. And as they say, all the rest is history. But this is an interesting poll. A poll of 30% of Spaniards still believe Franco's revolt was justified, and including, again, fully half of those who vote for the centre-right opposition. This is good news. See, history. Sometimes history comes out correctly. Estonia launches another brutal attack against Soviet past. The Estonia authorities are preparing to launch another attack on the Baltic state Soviet past. The monument to the Soviet warrior liberator may be removed from the center of Tallinn. In the eyes of the Estonian authorities and nationalists, it is not a sign of respect to the people who gave up their lives to liberate their country from the Nazis, but a symbol of the occupation. Last Saturday, a small, although maybe 300 people is a lot for the Estonian capital, but extremely ferocious rally took place in the centre of Tallinn, including supporters of many nationalist organisations. Saturday night, several heavily drunk young people poured paint over the statue. The Estonian head of state, Andrus Ansip, also got involved, and it emerged that he too had long been disturbed by the presence of the statue. The monument of the warrior liberator, quote, is a symbol of the occupation, and it should have been removed to another place a long time ago, just as was done 15, 18 years ago with other Soviet monuments, Ansip said on Monday. Estonia and its southern Baltic neighbours now serve as a perfect example. They're re-looking again at their history and fully realising that the Estonian SS and the SS legions of Lithuania and Latvia, they were the good guys. They were and are nice old men, and the Soviet Army veterans are being identified for what they were: occupiers, brutal occupiers of three great nationalist countries in Europe, Estonia, Lithuania and Latvia. I'll put this full report on the notes. Australia will be a Muslim state in 50 years, says an Australian Parliament member. Scholars and politicians are convinced that Australia is threatening its own existence. In the words of one member of Australia's Parliament, it will not be possible for the country to know for another 50 years. It is everybody's fault, she said. The medical drug RU486, which guards against unwanted pregnancy by interfering with the action of hormone progesterone, which is crucial to the normal progress of pregnancy. Australian Member of Parliament Dana Vale thinks that the use of the tablets, about which there have been many serious discussions, could have catastrophic consequences. The birth rate in the country is at a critical low level. If RU486 is made available, the situation will become yet worse. Vale cites the words of an imam at one mosque in Sydney who claims that within half a century, Australia will be a Muslim state. She said, quote, I do not believe him, but if we look at the birth rate, we are dying out of our own accord. Every year, about 100,000 abortions are registered. If this number increases over the next 50 years, then we will only have 5 million Australians, Vale announced. At the end of the 20th century, the population of Western Europe was 729 million. Today it is decreasing. Over the next few decades, it is expected that the population will decrease at a rate of 2 million people a year. As a result, by 2050, here's that number again, 2050, the population of Europe will probably be 75 million less than today's. These figures are, of course, based on the indigenous population. Not only is Europe being invaded and the birth rate is devastatingly low, this is also happening in Australia, in New Zealand, our fellow white lands, our fellow Aryan lands. When are people going to wake up to this disastrous extermination of our race? When are they going to wake up to it's time to walk away from the television and the baseball and the football and to join us in this political fight for our freedom and for our survival? Swedish welfare state collapses as immigrants wage war. This is in the Brussels Journal. This is quite a long report. I'll also post this on notes for everyone to read. It's a great article. Basically, what's happened is this gentleman wrote this story. Last year I wrote an article about how Swedish society is disintegrating and is in danger of collapsing, at least in certain areas and regions. The country that gave us Bergman and Volvo could become known as the Bosnia of Northern Europe. The Swedish model would no longer refer to a stable and peaceful state with an advanced economy, but to a Eurabian horror story of utopian multiculturalism, socialist mismanagement, and runaway immigration. Some thought I was exaggerating, and that talk of the possibility of a future civil war in Sweden was pure paranoia. Was it? Swedish media actually revealed the truth. Reported several years ago that 9 out of 10 of the most criminal ethnic groups in Sweden came from Muslim countries. I'll give you just a brief snap of this story because it's fairly long. Almost 90% of all robberies reported to police were committed by gangs, not individuals. When we are in the city and robbing, we are waging war, says one immigrant, waging a war against the Swedes. Power for me means that the Swedes shall look at me, lie down on the ground and kiss my feet, says this Muslim immigrant. It is interesting to note that these Muslim immigrants state quite openly that they are involved in a war and see participation in crime and harassment of the native population as such. This is completely in line with what I have positioned before. The number of rape charges in Sweden has quadrupled in just above 20 years. Rape cases involving children under the age of 15 are 6 times as common today as they were a generation ago. This is not Detroit here, people. This is Sweden. Nordic Sweden. Towards the end, he states, since my talk about the threat posed by Muslim immigration or about preserving our own culture is being dismissed as the same rhetoric as the Nazis used against the Jews, Europeans have been taught to be so scared off of our own shadows, that we are incapable of seeing that darkness, can come from the outside too. Maybe Europe will burn again, in part as a belated reaction. Takes me back to a book I once read, and I think I mentioned this on a previous program, was The Camp of the Saints. That was a great book. The ending is, the apocalyptic ending in that book is what's happening in Europe, and it's going to happen in Europe until the white people and the Aryan people of our lands wake up and rise up against this massive immigration. It is an invasion. Invasion of all white lands is going on, and we all know who's behind it, the Jews. We've got to work together on this one, people. Everyone, all our nations, white Aryan nations, we've got to come together to fight this. If we don't stand up together and fight this horrible, disastrous invasion, and with the low birth rate, Europe is ended. Europe's finished. All the white Aryan lands will die. We've got to rise up. We've got to use every effort we can to instill racial and nationalist sentiment in our people. Every way we can, we've got to try and do this. Vanguard News Network is one of those avenues that is pushing the message to our people. And it's been so successful in pushing out our message to our people that Mr. Richard Warman in Canada, with his so-called Human Relations Council, or whatever they're called up there, sent letters and had VNN closed down for a day, just one day. You can read all about that on VNN Forum. I just want to re-emphasize, everybody, I'll put all these stories on the Hawthorne Report. Please do everything you can. Send money to the organization of your choice, but do something. Don't be idle. We need to spread this message to everybody, to as many people we can. We've got to do this. The survival of our people depends on you doing something. We all have to, as I said before in a previous program, we are the pieces of this big jigsaw puzzle. We can't do it all together, but we can independently do little bits to make this jigsaw puzzle into the great picture of racial awakening and racial survival. Let's do it. Let's work together. And thank you for listening to the program again. I'll see you next time. This is James Hawthorne.
The Hawthorne Report is a production of Vanguard News Network Broadcasting.